Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow-wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Welcome to another edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Fantastic to be with you again from isolation. My name is Lauren Wood. I'm joined, as I am every week, by John Anderson and Scotty Gullen. We are to be joined by a great special guest this week, boys. Hawthorn recruit John Patton is joining us. And Ando, you're going to be building your best Essendon side of the last 50 years. But we'll get to that a little bit later. There's been a few issues bubbling away this week, boys. And Scotty, none bigger than Lachie Hunter at the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, no, we were. I woke up Friday morning, as in isolation laws. You wake up a little bit later than normal, and the phone is like 20 messages. And instantly, as Ando and I, you think, what have I done? What have I written? I've done something wrong. And then I just sort of, I had to Google what had happened. And yeah, I mean, it's sad, obviously, what's happened, and not surprising, I think, in isolation that there was going to be an episode like this, and he did a pretty good job of it when he went down. He ticked a lot of boxes. And then Adelaide just quietly slipped out one of their own. So it was a very big day last Friday.
It certainly was. We'll get to a little bit deeper into Lachie Hunter. But Ando, the Crows have been accused of trying to cover up the Stengel one, haven't they? A little bit of sort of putting the rubbish out on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I look at that, Oz, and think, is it, I've used coronavirus because communications aren't what they want them to be. And I do get that to a degree, but everyone's in touch every day, aren't they? There is things such as what we're doing now, if you like, and you can Zoom and all sorts of different ways of finding out exactly what happened. So I don't quite accept that. I think they could have gone a little bit. If they wanted to be really thorough, they could do it very, very quickly. And he was like, in reporting himself, wasn't he?
Oh, that was ridiculous. So Thursday got done. This was going back. Told them on Saturday, okay, we can deal with that. The club then waits till the following Friday, claims he has to talk to his teammates over Zoom. Hello? I mean, it should have been out Saturday, Sunday at the latest. It's clearly a dodgy bit of work from the Crows.
Well, they've refuted it. Let's have a quick listen to what their new head of footy, Adam Kelly, had to say. Here's what he said yesterday.
There's certainly no suggestion that, you know, we were trying to hide any of this away, and we informed the AFL Integrity Department on the very day that we found out. So that was never an intent. It was just the way that we planned our week out.
So there you go. They're denying it. They're saying that this is kind of the new world order of Adelaide. Scotty, I can hear you scoffing already.
I cannot believe it. But you don't have to tell his teammates. He does the apology down the track. We get that. You deal with it. You get it out. You tell the public needs to know, look, we're dealing with it. We'll suspend him or whatever later, but this is what's happened. In this day and age, and conveniently, I mean, they've waited till Lachie Hunter has happened. They've gone, oh, how good's this? We'll just ride on the back of this, send out a release at 4:30 or something while Hunter's on the front page of every newspaper. And, oh, by the way, this young Crow also got done for drink driving. I don't swallow it for a second. I don't think anyone does.
Well, it's a little bit of a different story with Stengel than it is with Hunter, isn't it, Ando? Because obviously Lockie's sort of only weeks into a vice captaincy. And as Scotty said, he ticked a heck of a lot of boxes when he did it. We've since learned that he, whether it's voluntary or not, you never sort of know with this sort of thing, when he's relinquishing vice captaincies and all the rest of it, whether someone's told him to, whether he's come forward with it. But geez, he's going to pay the price. I read Sam Landsberger and John Ralph's story in the paper a couple of days ago that this, by the time they take pay cuts into account, this few months could cost Lachie Hunter, you know, upwards of $300,000.
Yeah, that's including his contract, obviously. Loz, I'll be up front with this. I'm someone who's been through a situation similar to Lachie Hunter, and I should say that. So I'm probably better qualified than fortunately for you, so I'm better qualified to speak about it. The only thing I can say to Lockie, and I've spoken to a few people in his situation since mine, which was 10 years ago now, is you just have to own it straight away. And by that I mean just be totally honest all the way through. Just be brutally honest. People are looking and they're watching Lockie Hunter really closely now. He's a bit fortunate in that he doesn't have to go out into a big public glare all the time. He's escaped that due to the coronavirus. When it first happens, you feel so embarrassed. You feel ashamed of yourself. You feel embarrassed towards your families, Lockie Wood, and to your friends. And really, you struggle to sort of look at people in the eye. I remember the first time I walked back in the office, and it was bloody hard. I really, really mean that. And so if he can just be as honest as he can all the way through it, admit that every time I did the wrong thing, I did the wrong thing. Just get his head in that mindset. Don't blame anyone else. No excuses. That'll help him. He'll come through it. But there's a fair bit down the track before he does. He'll have to go to an educational situation. There's 8 hours of that where you sit down with other people, like-minded people, if you like, and go through the whole thing. And you hear some really interesting stories. The one thing that came through for me was that a lot of people didn't blame themselves. They wanted to blame, I know, the police. There was always excuses, and that doesn't help. He's just, as I said, he's just a liar.
Well, that was sort of the argument going around for, you know, the 24, 48 hours after it happened, wasn't it? There was talk from, you know, club people and journalists as well, sort of that it was the pressures of the coronavirus that had kind of led to this situation. That was sort of an excuse that was being pulled out by a lot of people. When you mentioned excuses there, Ando, but it sounds like he's going to accept the drink driving charge now after talk that he might have fought it. He's obviously copped the social distancing fine and all of the embarrassment that goes along with it. But, geez, Scotty, I just don't know about this going to a teammate's house afterwards situation. They're saying that he left his phone number with everyone at the scene and that they were all pretty much on the same page, but surely you stick around.
Yeah, I mean, that's an error in itself. And how getting the poor kid, his teammate, Bally Smith, who just happened to be there, that's just extraordinary.
What are the odds? That was absolutely unbelievable, wasn't it?
So he's got him to take him to Billy Gower's, where he's obviously things have hit home and drinking more didn't help the situation. So, yeah, what do you think he'll get? So he'll get $5,000. That's the most he can get fined. He's lost the vice captaincy. When we get playing, say it's July, in terms of matches, what do we think? Is it 6? Is it 8? Or is it time? What are they going to throw at him? Because as we sit here today, the Bulldogs still haven't come out and told us yet.
Well, Scotty, there's 4 cars involved. Plus his own car, so it's 5 cars.
It's a lot of cash.
It is. A write-off these days is vastly different than it was 30 years ago. You don't have to do much damage to a car before they run it off. So he's not going to get insurance on that. As someone, as I said before, I've been through it. And nor should he. That's just he's got to cop that and cop it fair and square. So, look, he's public humiliation. And that'll be ongoing. That goes for a while. And the one thing he has to do, if you're advising Lockie Hunter, is throughout this, don't look at any form of social media, because the real haters really get warmed up with this sort of thing and they really go hard. And I remember that as well. You just don't go near social media. But he's going to cost him well over $100,000. I think in terms of penalty, he loses the vice captaincy. To a degree, he loses some respect of his playing group. Obviously, huge financial and public shame. As such, I don't think he should lose a lot of games. I think he should. He's got a big penalty anyway for a moment of foolishness, which will sit with him for the rest of his life. He'll come through it because he's a good kid and he's got a good family. But I'm thinking he should get 3 weeks. That's it for me.
Well, I suppose it's all relative too, isn't it? We're looking at a 16-game season. So to lose 5 or 6, it's sort of the equivalent of 8 or 9. So it sounds like, as you say, Scotty, the Bulldogs are doing their due diligence. They've learned from the errors of previous clubs that might have gone a little bit too quickly and too early before they had all of the facts.
Famously, Eddie Maguire. We love Eddie. But he went on the front foot with Heath Shaw and took what the boys had told him. And then a few days later, it was completely wrong. So the Bulldogs are very wary of that. But you'd think they'd be nearly ready now, Loz. It's heavy days, 4 or 5 days on.
Yeah, we're a few days in. I reckon they've probably had time for a Zoom or two along the way, and we'll have it pretty soon. But you mentioned Eddie there, Scotty, just before we get into a few more footy matters. And it was an interesting one from our chief, Robbo, in the tackle on Monday, wasn't it? And it certainly riled up Eddie for a Monday morning, that column, didn't it?
Just on Eddie, can you imagine when he found out that Heath Shaw, Alan Dyer's story was wrong? If any of you have seen the movie called Downfall, where they have a character brilliantly playing Adolf Hitler, and we often see it put to different forms these days. Eddie would have, gone absolutely so much worse than Adolf Hitler. Eddie, and compared with Robbo and Eddie, they're old sparring partners. Though, so they've been at this for about 10, 15 years. And it happens every 2 or 3 months. I think if he went the definition of love-hate relationship, that's the one you look up in the dictionary. There's photos of Ed and Robbo. There's a bit of poking of air, that sort of stuff. And you know he's going to come back because that's his nature.
Scotty, what did you make of it?
I giggled a bit like Anna. You know the history of both of them, and they both scream fire, and then they'll be back cuddling each other in a couple of weeks. But it's I think Robbo, I know what he was trying to say. It was an excellent point. There's a lot of factors in sorting this whole mess out, and sometimes people running agendas can not be good for anyone.
Oh, well, it certainly, as I say, livened up Monday morning, that's for sure. We all reach and grab the paper. Interesting one, heard Ken Hinckley, your man, Scotty, on 3AW on Sunday, talking grand finals. We've heard night grand finals, twilight grand finals, New Year's Eve grand finals thrown into the mix at one point. Let's just have a quick listen what he had to say on Sunday.
Just feel like grand final day has and always will be at the MCG if it's available. Now, if there's the circumstances that we have this year and it's unbelievably unique, there's an opportunity to look at what opportunities we can do and how we can play the game. As long as we get to that point, I think we'll all be happy to play it wherever we have to.
So, Kenny, your man, as I say, Scotty, you caught up with him in the preseason. He reckons this could be the year to trial the home state granny.
Oh, I love reckon? It. Yeah, absolutely. I think everything... I'm on record as saying I want, wild cards. This is the year to try everything, the whole shebang, and they're not going to get, you're not going to get negative feedback. People just want footy. So the AFL should be trialling everything. So if it's Port Adelaide v Geelong and it happens in Adelaide, I think no one will bat an eyelid. I think the MCG, as we know, cricket will be taking over there. So it's a perfect opportunity to go, let's do it. I think everything should be on the table.
Yeah, I'm with you, Scotty. You're a progressive thinker, and I like where you're coming from. If you asked me 10 years ago, should the grand final ever be moved from the MCG, I would have firmly said no. But as I'm getting older, maybe I'm getting, I don't know, I'm just sort of thinking, well, why shouldn't it be in Perth, or why shouldn't it be at Adelaide Oval, or eventually one day in Sydney or Brisbane? To me, that makes more sense. Every other sport does it. I guess the FA Cup, you could argue, is always at Wembley, isn't it? Certainly in gridiron, the Super Bowl moves around the country, and to me it makes sense. And those sides, like the Eagles, I remember Ron Barassi years ago saying the best wins he's ever seen in premiership years were the ones by interstate clubs. He said it's so much harder for them to win. And for a side like Brisbane, which had that hand dealt to it by the AFL in 2004 when they had to fly back on the Saturday night, from memory, wasn't it? Their game was on that night. Or not get back on that day, which was so unfair. And then for the Eagles to fly over from Perth. I mean, it's a lot bigger because those athletes suffer from plane flight. We know that. And so I think it should at different times be moved interstate, and this is the best time to start it. Why not?
Well, that was the argument put forward by Mick Malthouse a few days ago, wasn't it, regarding Kevin Sheedy's proposal about the 28, 29, 30-game seasons, which I must admit, initially when I read Cheese's comments, I know he's always good for these kind of ideas. I actually didn't mind it. But then, of course, you've then got to put the hat on of a team like the Eagles, as Mick said, and think, well, if they're going to be getting on a plane every second week, if we don't end up in these quarantine hubs, it'd make it a little bit difficult for them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, indeed. And that will vary. Where the grand final is played will be dependent on where the hubs are if we get to that situation. But as Scotty said, irrespective. Give it a try, just say it anyway. Who cares about that? It doesn't have to be at the MCG, although I think, isn't there an agreement with the AFL for it to be played at the MCG for a long time to come?
for the next about 432 years. I think is that agreement that they've signed there. I think, I shouldn't say, I think it is literally about the next 70 years or something like that for the grand final. So it would, but I suppose you're right, if this is the year to be ripping up contracts and all sort of throwing everything onto the table, maybe it is it. Who knows? But it sounds like, Scotty, these hubs, we've been talking about them for a few weeks, but
yes.
Your man Paddy Dangerfield, he's done the triple pike backflip from the Tokyo Olympic gymnastics team this morning. It suddenly sounds like he's all for it.
I was a bit guided by him a couple of weeks ago when he was very sort of, oh, no, we don't want to leave our families, players aren't supportive. He's definitely changed his tune and saying, well, I think the players understand now to get the game happening because of the interstate travel and the borders, hubs are going to have to happen. So can you explain how it's going to work, though? Like, how many teams would go to Western Australia, for example?
You might have three lots of six, Scotty. So
three lots of six. How long do they have to stay there? For two weeks and play and then come back?
I think maybe longer than that. I mean, when you think of other sports, if you're a tennis player, you're on the road for how many weeks a year? 40 weeks? If you're a cricketer in the old days, or even now, say you go to the Nationals Tour, you might go to India for the IPL, but you can be on the road for at least half the year in cricket. So these footballers, to say they don't want to go away for six, but what could be as much as 6 weeks, they're sooks. Simple as that. It was a really ordinary effort, and they just initially came across to me as prima donnas. If you've got someone sick in your family, I get it's a totally different situation. That's the first situation. I totally get that. But if you've got a normal situation, get on with it and stop being sooks. That's how I feel about it.
So the six clubs play each other two, three times in that block and then come home or go to another hub and do it again? Is that what we're sort of looking at?
Well, I think all cards are on the table at this stage, aren't they? There's different scenarios, but it's all, I mean, we're just trying to guess what's going to happen. And it's day to day because it's what we get one positive over from on Sunday and how many today, Loz? Is it still under 10, is it?
It is. I think we're 7 or 8 today. And I suppose the added further ramifications to the hubs, you know, you say it's moving by the day. We've woken up this morning to find that Virgin Australia is in voluntary administration too, Scotty. So even if they're going into hubs in Western Australia, you know, this is one of the league's biggest sponsors. They sponsor the Blues as well. You know, huge ramifications, not only from a sponsorship perspective, but the players might have to drive to Perth.
Or get the train. What is it, the GAN or GAN or whatever it is? you know, that's not good for Carlton because obviously they're dealing with their bottom line, and then you would have been in negotiations with your sponsor about what percentage of money you get, and then for them to fall over, it's not ideal timing for everyone. But you're right, the league will have to find. Yeah, they'll be chartering planes. They've got enough. They've got that big loan. They'll be able to find a few planes, you'd think.
And they're not the only ones either. Obviously, you know, pretty breaking news before we recorded this at sort of lunchtime Tuesday from John Stensholt in The Australian is that BetEasy is now folding into Sportsbet. So it doesn't sound like the sponsorship movements for the AFL, Scotty, are going to dry up anytime soon. It looks like Sportsbet could well become the official wagering partner of the AFL. So there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, no, well, they'll have to now. I mean, I gather they just take over the BetEasy contracts and roll into it. But, but they could change the figure, so the AFL might get skimmed there as well.
What about for a club like the Blues, Ando? We mentioned them before that they obviously have Virgin as a pretty major sponsor for them, bankrolling a lot of things that happen at Royal Parade. They've come out in support of Virgin and, you know, offered a statement and, you know, I'm sure they'd be offering a lot more support behind closed doors. But could this be the first major, I don't like to call it a domino, but we've obviously forecast a lot of financial shortcomings in the game to come in the first few months, in the next few months, but this is obviously the biggest one so far.
Yeah, but Carlton will be devastated, Loz, with this because pre-coronavirus, they generally believed they would get through to the end of this year and be able to stand alone and not require any more assistance from the AFL. That's obviously been put on hold because of what's happened. And then now you've got Virgin on top of that. So they'll be devastated. They've done a really good fight. Under Mark Legutta, say, in fairness to him and his board, they've done a really good financial job with that club over the past 5 or 6 years. We're talking about a club that's not playing finals they managed, and their membership was beneath what it should be for a it was so-called one of the big four or five clubs in Melbourne. But they've got it back to where it needs to be. I think they're over, oh, Damien Tardy, they're whispering to me, but well over 60,000 in terms of membership. And but they're really well off the field. So, yeah, it's going to hurt them enormously, a version falling over.
Contracts are also under the spotlight, Scotty. Obviously, you know, a lot of negotiation. Oh, I think the AFL's actually said that all negotiations with players have to be put on hold as we sort of work our way through this period. Interesting hearing Darcy Moore speak over the last 24 hours. He's out of contract at the end of the season at Collingwood. So is his teammate, Jordan Degoe. He's already flagged that a long-term deal might not be possible at the moment. Would this be the time, do you reckon, to sort of swoop in and start sniffing around? You wouldn't have to make many phone calls about Jordan, maybe go straight to him, because I don't think he's got a manager at the moment.
This is the best thing about Jordan Degoe. No interest in a manager. Imagine him taking calls from Sydney and other various suitors going, oh, yeah, what are you going to throw at me? Out of those two, I think I don't think Moore would leave. I mean, Degoe's just that sort of type of player that you could offer a lot of zeros to over the odds. A bit like Dusty before, you know, when GWS went to Dusty before he totally exploded in his career. I mean, Degoe, particularly if he's doing it himself, could easily be led down a nice path. So out of those two, Degoe's the most interesting. And they'd have to be talking now.
I mean, this guy on Degoe. I'm not saying Degoe's a better footballer than Darcy Moore. You probably toss a coin. Obviously, vastly different players. But Degoe plays the position which is the buzz position of the AFL. And that's because of Dustin Martin, where you can have that midfielder who can go forward, last kick three goals in a quarter and change a game. Patrick Dangerfield's capable of doing the same thing. Christian Petrarca, we hope to see him emerge as that type of player this year. They're fairly rare players, though, the midfielders who can go forward. Because look at the great midfielders. Most of them couldn't do that. And Degoe can. And Degoe sees himself as a midfielder primarily. That's where he wants to play his footy, with some time up forward, just that he's so good up forward that he has to do both. He'll get a manager. I, in fact, spoke to a really respected sporting manager over the weekend, and that particular manager rang me to find out what sort of person Jordan Degoe was. I couldn't give a really honest answer. I know Jordan a little bit because he played footy at school. I saw him through his time at St Kevin's, where he was a well-liked member of that school side, well-liked by his peers. And I think overall a good person. Obviously, he's tarnished at times. He's had a few hiccups along the way. But this manager was really keen to find out whether before they took Jordan Degoe on, or he'd spoken to them, but they hadn't heard back from him. I think, was it Ralph Carr you think might be in the box set?
Ralph.
Well, Ralph's got Dustin Martin.
Yeah, exactly.
And Dusty and Jordan, you know, there's probably a bit of similarity between those two boys, I would have thought.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. It would be an interesting one, though, Scotty. As you say, I wouldn't imagine Jordan would typically be one to answer phone numbers that he doesn't have saved in his phone. But when you're going through a contract negotiation, you're probably answering every person that calls you, aren't you?
It would be to be a fly on the wall to listen to him negotiating with, you know, Tom Harley from Sydney or someone like that.
Yeah, a bit of Jerry Maguire type action, I reckon, that would be going on there. You talk about midfielders that kick goals. It'd be remiss of us boys to not recognise the efforts of Jasmine Garner over the last 24 hours, named the AFLPA Women's MVP, their first virtual awards of the season. We're going to have the Big W Awards. Looks like they're going to be coming up next week. So she's certainly a midfielder that can go forward and kick goals. So we've got to congratulate her. She's
any shocks, Loz? Any shocks in the standings? Or Maddie Petrarca was second, I think.
Maddie Petrarca was second by a pretty long way. Obviously, it's player voted. So Jazz managed to, pardon the pun, she managed to garner more than 400 of the player votes, and then Maddie Prespark sat in second on sort of 220 odd. But it was the 22 under 22, which of course is fan voted. So that probably caused the biggest stir. Obviously, Daisy Pearce won best captain, which I don't think anyone would dispute. Georgia Patrikios, the best first year player of AFLW. But Liv Purcell from down your way.
Yes, my girl.
But people sort of blow up on Twitter on these sort of things, but it's worth noting that that one was actually fan voted. So maybe captains have only got themselves to blame on that one. But W Awards next week, so we'll I reckon Jazzy Garner will be right up there for that one too.
Well, Livia Purcell was clearly their best player, particularly after what's her name?
Nina Morrison went down.
Yeah,
again.
Nina, who's such a great footballer. I mean, that was so sad. But Livia Purcell, the games, as you know, I was there for three or four of them. She's their best player easily.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. But as I say, Cats fans, you've got to get on and vote for these things if you want your team players getting selected. But, boys, before we get to catch up with Johnny Patton, have you managed to tune in to The Last Dance yet? Of course, the ESPN doco, Michael Jordan, the first two episodes were launched on Netflix on Monday night. So I settled in and watched the first one. We've been counting down in this house for quite a few weeks on this one. I live with a very big basketball fan, and of course he loved the Bulls throughout the 90s. So we settled in pretty much immediately. We've saved the second episode because obviously they're only coming out two a week at this point. So we've got to sort of ration them around here. But did you manage to catch any of it?
I haven't yet, Loz. I was otherwise engaged on Monday night, but I will. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm a massive basketball fan as well. And what did you think? I mean, I think from what I was reading, people are surprised Michael given a lot of this the green light, because he's not going to come out of it looking fantastic. Is that a fair? What's happened in the first bit anyway?
Well, we're one episode in, so we've gone through his drafting. And we're sort of starting to get into a few of the politics that surrounded, I guess, that 97-98 championship year, which is going to be really interesting to play out. But we heard Patrick Dangerfield, we mentioned him before the interview that he gave on SEN on Tuesday morning, and he's sort of flagged the Jordan doco as potentially a sign of what we could see to come from the AFL, now that especially that the league is kind of, you know, going to be taking a little bit more control of clubs. He's called for, this to maybe be a little bit of a signpost of where we could get to with the AFL, open things up from a media perspective, which, of course, we're going to barrack for because this is what we always want. But if we were to take Gary Ablett Sr. out of the equation, because I think that's probably the number one for all of us, who would you love to see in this sort of Jordan Doco-esque I guess, format? Who would you love to see profiled?
Well, back in the day, it would have been Bruce Steele. I don't think Bruce would have done it. You talk about today, Loss?
Yeah, if we were to see it today.
I want someone. I need someone with a sense of humour. That's the part.
Which Jordan seemed to have in the first episode, as you say, Scotty. He sort of sits back in the lounge chair with the glass of scotch and the cigar.
Yeah.
And he seems to have that. I think that's what's making it, Ando. It's a good point.
Yeah. Who would I like? Toby Green interests me always. Mm. Toby's a real character. I love his just where he's come from and where he's at, and the love for him from that club. I think GWS is a really interesting club, Loz, because they're obviously a fledgling club, one that's been set up, and they've done a really good job of it. And some of those characters there have been there for a long time. So that's sort of Phil Davis, Callum Ward, Toby Green, they've been there from the start. And I'd love to know that Jeremy Cameron, just their trip, their journey, how this all comes. So that's a club that would appeal to me, yeah.
And Scotty, what about you?
Yeah, current day, well, you need a bit of a mystery and a backstory, obviously. I mean, if you're going back in history, like, it'd be great to do, like, and I mentioned Carlton, like, do the Carlton great teams and flow it into the salary cap cheating, a bit of that sort of stuff thrown in. But I mean, this era, look, if you got Dustin Martin and, like, because no one really gets to see Dustin Martin or hear him, if you got the backstory of his dad, I mean, he's got all the elements. So if you could get an insight into that in a few years' time, it'd be quite fascinating, obviously.
Yeah, the Dusty Buddy Toby Green trifecta. Yeah. I reckon that'd be a nice little series. We better not give too much away. This could be Herald Sun Footy Podcast Productions. This could be our first documentary meeting. You mentioned a few of the Giants' names there, Ando, Green, Davis, Canelio, Cameron. One man who knows them incredibly well after he was taken with the number one pick at the Giants is, of course, Johnny Patton. We're thrilled to have him join us, so let's catch up with him.
Bob's lurking, big pack. Oh, and Patton, big clutch front spot. Still looking for an option. He's always asking the question, how much time?
given the benefit of the doubt. From inside the centre square, he lays back and launches a huge bomb. Jonathan Patton with a big goal.
De Boer, Reid, Cameron, here they come, the Giants. Long ball, marking contest, Patton. He's got three here. He's in the best form of his career and scores are level.
John, where are you joining us from in this ISO life?
I'm just at a home in Richmond. So just been here for the last sort of, what's it now, 4 or 5 weeks, something like that. Who knows anymore? So, yeah, it's been a lot of downtime, as everyone's gone through at the moment, but slowly getting through.
Have you got your routine sorted? It took us quite a few weeks. We were happy to admit that here on the podcast, that there was still a few days every now and then spent in the tracksuit pants and not being able to do much. But are you sorted? Are you getting out to sort of train a bit every now and then?
Yeah, a bit like yourself. The first probably couple of weeks was pretty tough in terms of sort of getting your head around it, and just especially the first week in terms of motivation to even sort of just go for a kick, just because you had no idea what was going on in terms of if we're going to play at all this year, any of that sort of stuff. So now probably, you know, a few weeks into it, you start to be, all right, you know, get yourself sorted, get your head around it. And then a big thing to me is just getting up somewhat of a decent hour. Otherwise, you know what it's like when you're in high school and you're on holidays and you end up going to bed at 2 a.m. and you're waking up at 10 a.m. It's just not a good feeling when you're doing that at 26 years old. So
yeah, I'm not sure what's wrong with this, John. This is, you're running your own hours now. You can get up at 3 in the afternoon.
It's just for my own sanity, mate. It's just something that I'm doing. It's a little, somewhat of a really bad goal of mine is to get up before a decent hour.
Now, what are you missing the most? I mean, were you a coffee shop man? Is there something that's really annoying you that you can't do?
Probably just going to a restaurant with my friends. That's probably the main thing, you know, because I've been cooking a lot in this downtime, because that's the main thing you can really do. You know, you just kind of forget what it's like to actually go to a restaurant and order some food and that sort of stuff, and just spend some good time with mates. And it's different. I mean, it makes you really appreciate it though, doesn't it? You know, just those little things of just going out and spending time with friends.
What's the go-to dish? What have you perfected over this time, John?
I've been mixing it up quite a bit. I've been doing a lot of fish. I'm trying to keep the carbs down so I don't put on too much weight during this time. I've been doing a lot of fish, a lot of stir-fry stuff. I did a great lasagna a few weeks ago, which probably packed on about 5 skin folds because it was about 3 days of leftovers. So I might have to steer clear of the Italian cuisine for a little bit.
Now, which teammate, you're allowed to train with one, which is the one guy you've been hanging out with, or have you been alternating who you're having a kick with?
Actually Lockie Whitfield, who's down in Melbourne at the moment. I've had a kick with him a couple of times. And it's also like one of my housemates as well, who's working from home. He grew up playing footy with me, so we've been doing a lot of kicking ourselves. But actually a lot of the boys I've seen on Instagram have been doing their kicking and isolation training with their girlfriends. So I might need to go out there and find a girlfriend just to have a kick with, because it seems like all the boys are doing that.
Oh, well, that's hilarious.
You can't go anywhere, Johnny, to find a girlfriend. This is the problem.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'll probably get told to say that.
tell us about your other housemate, Johnny. Correct me if I'm wrong, but have I seen a very nice little blue staffy on your Instagram? The dogs are a big feature of the Herald Sun Footy podcast. Does that keep you busy?
Yeah, she's on my lap at the minute, actually. I can't do anything without her. So as anyone who has a staffy would know, they just follow you everywhere and just have to be on you. So I thought I would have gone nuts by now after all this time at home, but we're going good. The relationship's as strong as ever. she just tends to lose her mind around 3 p.m. when she just stares at me and she wants her third walk of the day. But she's good. She's been keeping me company.
Johnny, we're all, like a lot of people, shaking our heads. You know, we nearly got the season started, had the one game. But particularly for you, after what you've been through, finally get fit, new club, flying, and you play one game?
Yeah, it was very different. I mean, walking off the ground after round one, we found out that obviously the suspension of the season, it was super weird because you know, it was my first game back for so long and at a new club, and you know, just played on the MCG, all these different emotions, and then you get told that you're off for another however many months. So it's definitely frustrating, like anyone, but. I mean, I think it could be somewhat of a blessing for a few boys out there who are maybe battling an injury over a year span or something like that and just are getting through. But for myself, it's more of a bit of a nuisance because obviously after all the time I've spent out the last year and a bit or 2 years now almost. So it's, yeah, it's very, very frustrating and annoying. But I mean, it's, what can you do? You can't get angry about it because it's no one's really, you know, we can't do anything about it. So just have to take it in your stride and just get on with it.
Would have been a completely different initiation process for you coming into the Hawks too, wouldn't it, Johnny? Because you look back to joining the Giants, of course, you were all so young. It was the real crew sort of in at Brekkie Point all together down at the Palace Hotel on a Sunday, whereas, you know, you come to Hawthorn, you're that little bit older. It's sort of more about walking the dog than heading to the pub and doing all of that bonding. How different was it sort of settling into that new club than it was the first time around?
Oh yeah, so different. Obviously, when everyone got to the Giants, it was everyone was 18, and no one was actually from Sydney, so everyone was getting used to the city. Obviously, the team was just a brand new team, so everyone was getting used to the coaches, everything. It was just everything was completely new. Whereas you're down here, I grew up in Melbourne, so I'm coming back home. I haven't lived here for 8 years, so it hasn't really felt like that much. But like, although I grew up here, I've spent my maturing years up in Sydney, so there was a lot of things down here that I just didn't really know about Melbourne, or just even living around the city region. So, and then also with the team, it was Hawthorn's such a big team. It's so many fans and members. It's like obviously talked about a lot more than what the Giants is up in Sydney. Also the fact of a lot of boys that are playing Melbourne are actually from Melbourne, so they have a lot of friends that they grew up with and schoolmates and whatnot, whereas up in Sydney it was literally just everyone was getting to know each other, and that's all we kind of had until after a couple of years you might have met friends outside of footy. But those first probably 5 years up there was even now they're probably still as close as ever, just because you have no real choice. So it's a big difference, and like you said, when you're young and getting to know each other, it's all about going to the pub and having a few drinks and having a laugh and running around like lunatics, whereas now it's a bit different. And not saying that I'm all old and fully mature or anything, but it's definitely a bit different now. But it's been great so far.
Do you miss it up there? Because you talk to guys like Dylan Sheil, who he's come back to Essendon. He's actually said that once he finishes up, he may well go back to Sydney. And I know Lockie Whitfield, you mentioned him before, he's from Mount Martha, sort of down my way, but he's loving it up there too. Is there much you miss about being in Sydney?
Yeah, definitely the lifestyle. Living in Sydney, especially if you're living in a nice part, where you have a lot of things to do, and it's a great city. All the boys up there, everyone just gets along so well. So it was definitely an easy lifestyle to live up there. I'm the same feeling in terms of, when footy is done, I always got that in the back of my mind of going back to Sydney one day, but hopefully that's still a little bit off. And when the time comes, it'll definitely pop in my mind if that's an opportunity. If whatever I'm doing post-football, Sydney will definitely be in the back of my mind.
Everyone has a Clarko story, John. Have you got one yet, or what was your first meeting like? He does things differently.
He does. There's a lot of Clarko stories already. I've only been there for about 6 months. The day before the first game round one. Obviously, it was my first game at the club, and so we walk into the captain's. The coaches meeting the day before the game, and to get the pep up talk, and Clarko's in there with a guitar, and I've heard some of these guitar stories, and then he starts singing. We all start singing with some lyrics he wrote down on a piece of paper and gave around to us all. So it was definitely different, but hey, we got the 4 points a day after, so it's working.
And you love your music. You last time I saw you were DJing a Fox show, so maybe you could DJ a Clarko sort of mix or something.
Oh, I'll leave that to Ben Chutton. I think him and Clarko have got that down pat for now.
The John Patton X Alistair Clarkson collaboration would be quite the Spotify list, that one. But John, as Scotty mentioned, you are into your DJing. Leave us with something that we should be listening to while we're in isolation. What's your go-to at the moment?
Sorry, what was that? You just broke up for a second.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, Scotty mentioned that you do like to hit the decks a little bit in your spare time. So we've obviously been stuck with a lot of spare time at home. What should we be listening to just to pass a bit of the time? What's your go-to at the moment?
You know what? I've actually, apart from training, which is just my normal sort of maybe a bit of Deep House or a bit of Drake rap stuff, I've actually been listening to a lot of podcasts. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on one now. it's actually the point where you're just finding things to do, and I'm listening to all these different podcasts about just all this different stuff that you probably don't listen to. So music hasn't been on the forefront of my mind at the moment because it's kind of there's only so much music you can listen to, really, and it's not like you can have a couple of mates around and put some tunes on. So, podcast has been my go-to at the moment.
Now, I've got to ask this just quickly before you go because it's sort of the go-to for every player question at the moment, but would you play in a hub?
I'm not too sure, actually. To be fair, I haven't given it much thought. It's one of those things that, you know, it could be a reality, but in an ideal world, you just want things to go back to how it was, you know, obviously apart from the crowd. I think we're up to most things, but that'll be something that people are a lot higher than me can think about, because when they tell me to play, I just want to play, so I don't really care where it is or anything like that. I'll let the real higher people like think about that. But yeah, like I said, I just want to get out there and play at the moment.
Well, hopefully it's sooner rather than later. We can't wait to see you back out there, but we better let you go and keep that relationship alive and walk the staffy. I'm sure she's waiting with bated breath. We'll let you go, Johnny. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Well, boys, great to have John Patton join us here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. But another feature, Scotty, of course, you've set a cat amongst the pigeons in the last few weeks with this one, as we do, is the whisper. What have you got for us this week?
The very controversial segment, this one, Lauren. This week, we're hearing that obviously media have been kept abreast of what's going on by the AFL, and there's a suggestion that July 10 could be the resumption date, that radio and TV have sort of been given the wink-wink from AFL House. Get your head around July 10, boys. Get your ducks in order. So that could be the date we're all looking at. I know it changes by the day, and they keep telling us that, but word out of the media, you know, radio and TV land who deal with the AFL, that July 10 could be it.
Can you last till July, Ando?
Not really, Loz. I'm not sure. if I don't, what am I going to do?
Let's get to your best of the best. As you said, you've looked at the Bombers. Take us through this one. It would have been tough.
Kevin Wenger come picked himself, obviously, in the back pocket. Dustin Fletcher, the same at fullback. Back pocket. I actually went with Michael Hurley.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Ando.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have him, Scotty. And he's a two-time All-Australian. I think top three, best and fairest three times. I really like Hurley as a player. Always have. Halfback line, Mark Bomber-Thompson has to be in the side. Mark Harvey, centre-half back. He's been with the shortest centre-half back in history, probably, of any best offside. But along with Campbell Brown, he's the shortest key position player that's been the best that I've ever seen. Those folks play so tall. Harvey probably just on 6 foot or just over, all Australian that position. Other back flank, Gary Folds, I loved as a footballer, 300 game player, probably very underrated, not within the club though. Could have been Neil Danaher, but Neil, of course, got injured, would have walked in that position otherwise. Wings, Merv Nagel, the late Merv Nagel. He could change a game, Merv Nagel. He was a devastating player when he was on side. Michael Long picks himself in the other one. Joe Watson in the centre. James, I think, but what if Joe went three? Best and fairest, maybe four, maybe three. Half forward line, Hurd, Merritt, Terry Danaher.
Pretty good.
Handy.
Easy to go. Forward line, Paul Summit in the pocket. Matthew Lloyd, obviously, a full forward. And I got Mark McCurry in the other pocket. Remember, I think it was James Hurd said that Mark McCurry was the second or best player he played with at Essendon. So
he was a gun.
Yeah, absolute gun. Simon Madden in the ruck, Tim Watson, naturally enough, as a ruck rover, if you like, a wrong baller, and a player, I think everyone loved Leon Baker, number four in the 80s for Essendon in those grand finals. He could play in a few different positions. He's probably a centreman. He could play on ball, go forward and kick big goals. Interchange, Scott Lucas has to be there somewhere. Graham Moss was a superstar. He's only not in the side because of Simon Madden and Paul Salmon. Graham Moss won a Brownlow, finished second in another. Paul Vanderhaar, yeah, wonderful player. Love watching Paul Vanderhaar play footy. And probably Gary O'Donnell for mine, but that could have been, Joe Macedi. Brendan Guyard was a really good player for Essendon. Cale Hooker's unlucky. And the other player who maybe a lot wouldn't think of was Darren Daisy Williams, Scotty, they were over from the 1980s.
Oh, yeah, the blonde hair.
Yeah, got injured, but gee, in grand finals and finals, he was a big game player, Daisy. He's unlucky to miss. So that's it for the Bombers for me, Loz. Very good side of the Bombers, as you'd expect.
Who's coming up next week, Ando? Because I've loved, over these last few weeks, filling in the days while working, of course, here at the home office, the sort of 80s and 90s matches on Fox Footy. Who are we looking to next week?
Next week I'm doing Geelong. I'm just doing it alphabetically. And I want Scotty to actually pick his team. And just see how it matches up a bit against what I put up. So that's your task, Scotland. Okay.
What is it? Last 50 years, is it?
Yeah, so from 1970 onwards. So someone like Doug Wade, and same with Essendon, Barry Davis was a superstar.
Yep.
But he only played 3 years, 71, 72, and they went off to North Melbourne. So I think if he only played 3 years, it's probably not enough. So Doug Wade wouldn't get into it if you think you're Tom Hawkins or whatever.
That's an interesting call already, that.
Well, did Wade in 3 years do more than Hawkins has done in 12 years? Probably not.
Yeah, good point.
Well,
homework. I've got homework.
There's your homework. There's your task for both of you, picking your Geelong team of the half century over the last 50 years. It's a great series, Ando, and I think it's going to cause plenty of commentary, this one, of course, encouraging all of our listeners to give their Bombers team of the last 50 years a crack. Of course, we've got the new series in the Herald Sun each and every day, Year of the... Today was Year of the Hawk with Sam Landsberger, with Buddy Franklin. Of course, the best individual seasons across all the clubs. So really enjoying sitting down, enjoying those each and every morning. And we'll see you both this time next week.
CODA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.